and how the ransom singers will together lift that. And we will sing hallelujah. Come on and sing hallelujah. By and by we'll sing, oh, oh, what joy when we get on. We're gonna rest, rest beneath that cloudless, oh, now in that land where the saints never die. And we will sing hallelujah. Come on and sing hallelujah by and by. And now in that mighty chorus voices, and we will sing hallelujah. Come on and sing hallelujah by and by. And gone will be our sadness, pleasures there will never. And we will sing hallelujah. Come on and sing hallelujah by and oh, sing oh, oh, what joy oh, when we get home. We're gonna rest, rest beneath that. Don't you know now in that land where the saints never die. And we will sing hallelujah. Come on and sing hallelujah by and victory, oh victory and our everlasting. And we will sing, come on and by and by, and praising our Redeemer there beside the, and we will sing hallelujah. Come on and sing hallelujah by and oh, sing oh, oh what joy oh, when we get home. We're gonna rest, rest beneath that. Don't you know now in that land where the saints never die. And we will sing hallelujah. Come on and sing hallelujah. Bye. Take it up one. Oh, don't you know, sing oh, oh, oh what joy oh, when we get home. We're gonna rest, rest beneath that. Oh, now in that land where the saints never die. And we will come on and sing hallelujah. Hey, come on, sing. Oh, oh what joy when we get home. We're gonna rest, rest beneath that. Hey, oh, in that land where the saints never die. And we will
sing,
we're gonna sing hallelujah.
Oh, by and by. Oh, what joy when we get home. Oh, what joy when we get home. And a rest beneath the cloudless dome in that land where saints will never, ever die. That's a beautiful song, and I hope, you know, we are to speak to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual psalms. And I hope that we are catching somewhere in our spirits what God has in store for us. There can be no joy that you can experience on this side of life. If you won the lottery, you're going to be happy. But it ain't going to be no joy like on the other side. I mean, as good as you think that's going to be, you're still going to get sick. Yeah. You still are subject to the affairs of this world. Even though you ain't got to worry about money, but you give it all away to a doctor to help you feel better. All of it. I promise you give it all away. Just to improve your quality of life just a little. But once you get over yonder, once you get over yonder with a new body, you know, I used to think my body was pretty good. Oh man, this is gonna be our, and then you just keep living, and you realize, you know what? This thing gonna give out on me, you know. It's gonna get, just like everybody else, it's gonna give out on me. And I'm doing all this stuff trying to keep it together, you know. But in that land, man, Randy, you're gonna have a new body. No more medication. No more trials. And no more pain. What you say, Brother Roy? You know a little bit about pain. No more pain. But that's not the best part. The best part in my mind is you get to see him as he is. You know, you've been imagining what it's going to be like, you know, to see the Lord Jesus and to see God the Father. And then to recognize the Spirit that's been dwelling in you. But you see him in his complete form. You have a down payment of the holiness of God, but you're going to see the presence of the Spirit of God, the Trinity. And you're going to be just in awe. I mean, you're going to be in awe. 100,000 years goes by, you're going to still be like, I can't believe how good this is. Million years go by. And it's just like one day. And you're going to be praising him forever. You have no idea. But there's another place. There's another place that is just as lasting as heaven that you really don't want to go to. Now, I'm going to tell you, now you think you've had some hard times. You think you've had some bad days. Life has treated you bad. Mm-mm. You have no clue what bad is until you wake up in the wrong place. And there's absolutely nothing you can do then to get out of it. And if the Lord delays his coming another 1,000 years, you got to wait in a place that nobody wants to be at, knowing you're going to a place worse than that. You just don't want to miss going to heaven. Amen? And God, you know, you got to work to go to hell. You got to really work to go to hell. You got to be willing to disregard the Spirit's help. You got to be willing to disregard what God's word tells you. You got to be willing to just be so conniving, so ornery, that you are not going to give God his best. You just ain't going to do it. And you're going to deny all the blessing that God has given. You're going to ignore and act like it doesn't matter. And you're going to wake up saying, I squandered all those years. I should have taken advantage of the time I had. Because see, everybody think they got a whole lot of time. Amen. Everybody believes they have a whole lot of time. But even if you have another 5 years, no, if you have another 10, No, if you have another 20, that ain't no time. You need to get it right. Amen. Amen. It's time. That song, I was just listening to the words, you know. We speak to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We are winding down to the last few days before the crusade. And we've been talking about this for a while, and we're asking you as a body of believers to make a commitment to be involved in the crusade every day. We're going to make a statement to the city of Fort Worth and to the world that God lives amongst his people. And we're asking that you prepare to have a joint service with all the churches and people from all over the country on that Sunday morning. On that day, we're not going to have service here. Amen. But those of you who are elderly and are concerned about traveling downtown, we're going to make sure that you have a way down there and back. So don't let your heart be troubled. We're not going to leave you out. And every day of the crusade, we're going to make sure you can get back and forth from this locale, drop you right off at the front door so you can go in and worship and come back and get on the vehicle and go back, relax. Amen? We don't want you stressing from going downtown. You know, downtown stresses me sometimes, okay? We don't need any of our seniors stressed about going to the service. And we're going to make sure you won't. Amen. But for those of you who are able, you need to get on down now. And be there on time. Amen. We have a great time. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. We really will. We want to acknowledge our visitors. It's part of our custom to do so. And if you're visiting with us today, we ask you to just allow us to see you by standing. All visitors, would you just stand wherever you are? Just stand. All visitors, stand. All visitors, stand. Let us say welcome to the Church of Christ at Forest Hill. And if you're a first timer, remain standing. Any first timers? Well, praise the name of Jesus. We want to give you a token of appreciation. We believe that Forest Hill is a place where you can belong. And if you're looking for a church home, we hope you don't have to look any further. We invite your Bible questions. We'll endeavor to give you Bible answers for any questions that you may have. And hopefully this is the beginning of an ongoing relationship between you and the family of God here at Forest Hill. I see a good friend of mine in the audience, Brother Mike Harris. Raise your hand, Mike. Mike is from Sugarland. He's here with his wife. Been knowing Mike, did some work for them years and years and years and years ago. Yes, it was back in the 2000-somethings. I did some work for them. Then they had me back and I did some more work for them, and we kind of forged relationship over the golf course. We forged relationship and just really appreciate him, his walk, and it's good to see him here this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. And my hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. 'Cause all of the glory belongs to you. And all of the glory belongs to you. Oh, love the glory. Well, to you. And oh, love. Oh, belongs to you. Amen. Amen. We are in the second lesson on a series of lessons that we are intending to do on the subject of mind renewal. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12, as our launching scripture. And Paul writes that, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And there is an expectation there that God is expecting his people to continually gravitate towards his spirit, his presence, his way, his ideology, his way of thinking, his way of acting. He is expecting us to move in a certain direction. He's expecting us according to his mercy. And if you have not thought about the mercies of God, how merciful God has been to you, if you really reflect on your life and know how much you deserve from God, what you deserve from him is not what he gives us most times. And that's because God is merciful. And you got to be thankful for the mercies that God demonstrates. So when you recognize that, you are going to be holy. Be holy as I am holy, Peter writes. Holy, he says. Acceptable unto God. Doing what you know God expects. Doing what God, and everybody knows what God expects from us. You're not ignorant of the expectation that God places on us. So holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. The phrase, renewing of your mind, says that it is possible and expected that every individual learns to control your thinking. It's expected, and you have the ability. I proved last week that if we weren't able to do it, then God would be unjust to judge us for not having our thoughts together if we didn't have the capacity to do that. But we have the ability to. We lack the discipline to. It is not because of our inability to do what God says in this regard. It's because of our lack of discipline. We have lived far too long being undisciplined in our thought process. Far too long. And it has corrupted us to the core. Because you cannot be a faithful child of God thinking whatever, allowing thoughts to permeate in your heart that you know are contrary to the will of God, and you just let them stay. And you come out and sing, oh, what joy when we get home. But there is nothing in your heart that relates to God, because your thoughts and the Spirit is witnessing, the holiness of God is witnessing how bad we think. That we may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So, mind renewal is what we're talking about. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we want to talk about mind renewal. So in order to renew your mind, you must be able to recognize, what you think. How are you going to renew your mind and you can't even pick up on thoughts that need renewing? How are you going to renew your mind and you don't even know when your mind is in the wrong place? There used to be a slogan going up, get your mind out of the gutter. Well, how you know your mind's in the gutter? How you know that? And if your mind is in the gutter and you do nothing to get it out of the gutter, then you are dragging your spirit through the gutter in your mind. So then, in order to renew your mind, you must be able to recognize what you think when you think. You cannot allow yourself to be comatose and allow thinking and thoughts just to run rampant in your life, and you do absolutely nothing, as though you're not even aware of the presence of the negativity of your thoughts. You gotta know what you think when you think it. You gotta know how often you are thinking about it. There are some scenes we play in our mind over and over and over again, and there is nothing good about what we're playing, but we just hit rewind, beep, and we rewind it and play it again. We're rewinding and play it again, and there's nothing good about it, but we just keep playing it. How often are you thinking about it? And why are you thinking it? Why? Do you know why? Do you know what is motivating your thinking? If you don't, then are you saying, I'm just a bestial animal, have no control over my life, and I'm not able to hold my body in subjection to the will of God? If you take that position, you just lied to yourself. You just lied to yourself. So, I want us to talk about today, do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? As a song, you know, when I was putting this title together, you know, do you see what I see? You know what I mean? You know, and I couldn't help it when I put the title down, you know. But do you see what I see? Because you got to see it before you can do anything about it. And it's your responsibility, brother, sister, to see where you are at all times. Recognizing your thoughts takes discipline. You've heard me say Christianity is the most disciplined life you can ever live, but recognizing your thoughts takes real discipline. You must be in complete control of yourself in order to recognize what you are thinking. Somebody walks up. You don't even know them, but they are of a color that you are not comfortable with. And you think. And you think they haven't even opened their mouth. You're already thinking about them. Why? Well, I don't know. I'm just that way. What you trying to tell? You are not just the way. You have become that way because of your thinking. And if you don't get on your thinking and control it, you will stay that way. And you're going to die that way. And you're going to wake up giving an account of all the things that God says you should have done something with. I gave you the capacity to renew your mind. And you never made an attempt to even try. Not one iota. Most people allow their thinking to be governed by what they see. And so based on what you take in from what you see, then you base your thinking about everything based on what you see. But there's a higher way to think based on what God says you ought to do. It has nothing to do with your circumstance or environment. It has everything to do with you being willing to submit to God and pay more attention to Him instead of your stuff that you see. So if it looks bad to you, your thoughts are negative. Because that's how you see it. If it looks good to you, your thoughts then are positive. Well, who labeled it negative or positive? Who did that? You. What did you base it on? I looked at it. I looked at it and determined when I looked at it that I ought to put that in the category of negative. Okay. Based on what? Based on my experience, based on the things I've been through, based on my life work and everything I've gone through, I say this is going to be negative. Really? Dr. Tony Roach in his book, God's Love Bank, says this. He says, what you see is what you say. What comes out of your mouth is direct resulting to the way you view life, but you speak what you think. You speak what you think. Your words that come out, when you look at life, you think about what you're looking at. You look at your circumstance, you're thinking about what you're looking at, and you speak. But it's not based on the circumstance. It's based on you and your willingness to either see it through a certain lens, and that is the lens of God, or see it through the carnality of your life. And if you see it through the carnality of your life, what comes out of your mouth is never going to be good. What you see is what. And do you know there are some folk that can't, they just seemingly can't say anything good about anybody. Their view of people is, ain't nobody that good. Have you ever tried to give a compliment to somebody
and it wasn't them, the person wasn't there, you talking about another person, and you know, sister so-and-so just showed up, and they say, based on what they see, oh, you just don't know them that well. Oh, they ain't all that good. You just don't know. Wait a minute. A person is giving a compliment of praise, and rather you saying nothing, you say, that ain't what I see. Let me tell you what I see. So that's what you say. And then Dr. Rose said, and what you say, speak, is what you sow. You plant in. And I wish, let me help you with something. God made the world and he put laws in place. He put the law of gravity in place. You can not understand gravity, but if you don't respect gravity, gravity will take you out of here. Amen. You get up on top of this building and don't respect gravity and mess around and fall. You can't claim, well, you know what? I didn't know it was going to be like that. Gravity will pull you down and you will hit the ground and you're going to be like Humpty Dumpty. You know, all the king's horses, okay? You see, what you need to understand is when you speak, whatever you speak, it goes into the universe of God. And every word carries weight. And it sets something in motion as soon as you think it. You thought I'd say it. No. It started long before then. It started at the point of the conception of the thought. I didn't understand all this. I haven't understood all this all my life, okay? And I'm still getting at it. But I knew something about the way I think early on. And that is, I can't meditate on something that's wrong. Because if I keep on meditating, I'm subject to do that. I learned that I can't say that I want this when I know I'll not have it. Because I'm putting it in the universe and stuff will start moving to the point to where it will become available. And I don't need that kind of problem in my life. So I don't ever say to myself that kind of thing, because I know what's possible if I speak it, if I think it. What you say is what you sow. We have been planting crops and crops and crops of stuff, and it's coming up in your life. And you wonder why your life is the way it is. You wonder why you feel like you feel. You wonder why you can't find any peace. Go back to your thinking. So you sow what you speak. Dr. Rose says, and what you sow is what you're going to reap. Now that's scary. That ought to frighten you just a little bit to think that you are responsible for what you get in your life. Now that's scary for you if you ain't managing what you're thinking. You see, your thoughts becomes crops that you planted. You planted that. Because you thought it, spoke it, sowed it,
And what you sow is what you reap. And what you reap is what you are. Your crops become you. You become a manifestation of everything that you have been thinking, have been saying, have been sowing, and you are reaping. You're getting what you put out. And what you are is what you're able to give. You give from your harvest. You can't give anybody anything that you don't have. And the only thing you can give is what you already have become. And you can't give no more or no less than what you already are. That's why it's so difficult for some folk to do things to people right, because they don't know how to do anything else. They think that way. They speak that way. They sow that way. And so everything comes out that way. And so whatever they give you is out of the abundance of what they have created. Ain't that scary? Now watch this. And what you give is what you're going to get back. You see, life gives you back what you give out. You need to be careful about how you think about folk. You see, don't mind me. Mind God's universe that takes every idle word. Every idle thought. And does something with it. And you just talking out of your head. And you don't even know what you're putting in motion. You putting in motion that's coming back to you. And we've been so undisciplined in our thinking for so long that it's like, is it really possible for me to control my thinking? I mean, see, we've been so undisciplined for so long that we question whether or not it's really doable for me. And all it's saying is, I have never learned how to try and trust God to do in my life everything that he says he would do. And I don't have a testimony because I've never put him to the test. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God will not be made fooled and foolish by your life. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, E-T-H, and the continuous action of doing it, because you don't just sow one time. See, when you're in a pattern of thinking, it's in your pattern. And that pattern of thinking will spill out into everything. And so you sow some more, you sow some more, you sow some more, because you keep thinking, and you keep speaking it, and you put it out there, and God takes it and says, I hate to give this to you, child. I hate to have to bring this to you, but you give me no choice, because you planned it. Am I helping anybody? You see, you have to learn how to view life with God's word and his spirit. Do you see? See, if you're looking at your circumstances and you're basing everything based on what you see, then you're going to miss it a lot because it don't always look good. Amen. But God always works in bad looking circumstances. He got a track record of showing up for people in places that they don't know how to get out of. They don't even know how they got into. And he has a way of helping you get out of that kind of stuff when you don't look at what you see. Now, listen, Isaiah, you got to see, I told you a couple of weeks, God can't lie. He cannot lie. Whatever he says, he's going to do. Isaiah writes, God is saying about his people. But in that coming day, the day when the armies are coming up against God's folk, no weapon, he says, turned against you shall succeed. Now hold up. Stay with me. I don't care who don't like you. I don't care who don't like you. And you ain't got to do anything for folk not to like you. All you got to do sometime is show up. You showed up and they don't like you. But when you and they will let you know they don't like you by the stuff they say and do, right? And do you not know we get bent out of shape? We get all flustered and scared because folk don't like you. They doing stuff that ain't right to me. Whoa. They hold them up. You don't understand the God you serve. You don't know him. When you know him, you don't worry about nothing. Nothing. I know no thing, okay? You don't worry about nothing that folk do. And when folk know they can't do nothing to you, because they done tried, they start looking at themselves. If they good, if they know any sense, better leave me alone. No weapon that's turned against you is going to succeed. Now watch this. And you will have justice against every courtroom lie. Listen, people will say stuff that sure enough ain't true. When you get accused by your brothers and sisters, for some you know ain't in your heart, and you know you wouldn't do, your first inclination is to fight against the lie. And so you go to war trying to prove your name. No. You're thinking wrong. You got to understand. Just live right. Just do right. And the lie will be found out. And you ain't even got to say. You ain't got to go there and say, see, I told you they was lying. You ain't got to say that. No. Just go on. Everybody in the courtroom know they lied. You just live. This is the, watch this, the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Wait a minute. Do you know him? Are you a part of his family?
then God says, I got you. Don't look at what folk gonna do or trying to do. Don't you pay no attention to that. I got you. And it ain't nothing nobody can do unless I let them do it. And sometimes God just want to see, you got any faith in me? Do you have any faith in me? You've been talking about it a long time, singing about it, and you can quote all the scriptures. I just want to see, can you live just a little faith towards me? And go to sleep. Not looking at the circumstances, but looking at the God who controls the circumstances. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is the blessing I've given you. I've given it to you, say the Lord. See, when you don't know that, you get bent out of shape when folk act crazy. You get bent out of shape. I can't tell you the number of times folk done act crazy with me. And the witness will say, and I maintained my balance. The witness, the testimony will be, and I wasn't fazed. You know why? Because I know who is in control. And ultimately, I may have to go through some, but that's all right. In the end, you watch, you come out smelling like the rose. Because it's a blessing that God gives you. That's the Living Bible. You know the no weapon forged against you. That's the one you know, okay? That's King James. Shall prosper. I just want you to see it in a different way. Everybody with me? Romans 8:28. You gotta learn how to view life with God's word and spirit. Paul says, and we know. Wait a minute. How do you come to a point to where you think about your circumstances, whatever they are, like this? See, because you can be in some circumstances that sure enough look bad. I mean, you know, and you don't know how. You don't know how this is going to work out. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do with this one. But I know you're going to do something. I'm just going to do the best I know to do and wait on you. For we know. Every child of God, if you're ever going to get control of your thinking, has to come to the realization, the knowledge, that God is really in control of your life. Nothing escapes him. You think you get into something and he didn't see it coming? You think something showed up and he was caught off guard? No. God knew before you was born about this circumstance you in right now. He knew before he gave you life that you was going to go through this. But you don't know that he knew that. And so you're trying to figure out how you are going to get out of this. You gonna get, cause you forget you got help. No, this on me. I gotta figure this one out. And you start imagining. This week I'm gonna get on those thoughts, but you start thinking about all the stuff that could go wrong in this circumstance. And so you play it through.
you know, if that happened, this going to happen. And if that happened, that going to happen. And this going to happen here. Oh, Lord, it's terrible, you know. And
then you start talking. You see, that's what you think. That's how you see it. And then when you start talking about it,
child, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. What's wrong? I can't even begin to tell you what's wrong. I mean, everything wrong. This is wrong. That's wrong. That over there is wrong. You know, you
ain't got time to hear what's wrong. Everything's wrong. Well, you know, God's going to listen. Don't be talking to me about what you know God's going to work it out.
And we know that all things work together for good. It does not say that everything happens to you is good. It's not good when somebody really mistreats you. It doesn't feel good. And you say, and I didn't deserve it because I ain't done nothing wrong to deserve it. That's what you say, okay? And that don't feel good, okay? But my question to you is, who are you that you can't be done wrong? Who are you? Didn't you get the memo that those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution? You didn't get the memo. Why are you shocked that stuff is being done wrong to you? Yeah, I do everything right. I treat people right. And I just don't understand. And then we get on this tyrant where we got to find so many people to confirm the fact that we've been mistreated. You know, so then you start telling everybody, you know, this just happened to me. And, you know, and I ain't do anything. And it just wasn't right. What do you think about it? No, it wasn't right. Now, there you go. Now you're getting amens for your wrong. You've been mistreated and you want a pity party to come along with you and validate how mistreated you are. And not only that, but now you start turning the hearts of people who weren't even involved in this against a person. Now they looking at somebody cross-eyed because you said they mistreating me. Oh, you let me get to them. Like you can do something. Let me get to them. And we know that all things work together for good. Listen, there comes a time in our walk with God that you gotta have faith in Him and His ability to navigate you through any and all circumstances. Now, I've lived long enough to know He can navigate you through any and all circumstances. God can do that. You don't know how you're going to do it. Don't worry about it. I've just learned to just say to Him, okay, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this one. I'm just going to watch you because I know you're going to do it. And when He does it, I say, Lord, I never would have done it like that. That's why you God. That's why you God. And I'm going to keep on following you because you know I never would have pulled it from that way. I can't believe you put it on that person's heart to do that. Lord, you something else. God will make your enemies do for you and they don't know why they doing it. They don't even know why. But why, you know, I want to do this for you. Really? Yeah, I want to do this for you. Okay, thank you. Baby, let me tell you what God happened today, okay? What God did today.
You ain't gonna believe it either. But God is able. For we know that all things work together for good. Now watch this. To them that love God with all their heart, all their soul, all their strength, and all their might. You can't love God too much. And when you learn how to love him with all you got, which may not be much now, but is all you're able to do right now, God is able to do stuff in your life with just the faith of a mustard seed. See, when you got, you barely got enough faith to show up on the Richter scale. Mustard seed, small, small, small seed. But when you got that kind of faith, God say, okay, she tried. Let me help her. Let me help. She tried. Little bit of faith. You got to love God, though. And you got to be called according to his purpose. You see, you got to learn how to live your life with more than this, my interest, my what I want, my what I think. No, 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 no. You got to learn how to allow God to start navigating your life. And you got to be willing to follow him. When you don't know. See, when you're walking by faith, you don't know where it's going. You don't know where you're going to end up. That's your problem. You try to see too much. You're trying to see too much. You got to walk by faith. And so you got to learn how to do this. Now, listen, listen, listen. Let me help you with something. You can choose to view life negatively, or you can choose to view life positively. It's your choice. I told you in Deuteronomy last week, you need to choose life rather than death. You need to think in terms that bring life back into your arena rather than think in terms that invite sorrow and trouble into your arena. It's how you think. Now, I want to give you some biblical example. Brother Lynch, I want you to get for me 1 Samuel chapter 18. We're going to start at verse number 1. While you get in there, let me set the stage. Saul is king. Now hear me now. Saul is the king. God has put him. He's the first king. And God selected him and put him in power. And God had the children of Israel facing one of their greatest challenges. Well, the Philistines was there challenging them. And they said, ain't no need of all of us dying in battle. We got a man. And we say, if our man beats your man, then you serve us. And if your man beats, kills our man, we'll serve you. Ain't no need all of us dying. And so they call out their man named Goliath. He was a man. He was a man, a giant of a man. And when the people of Israel saw him, everybody thought, ain't no way. We ain't got nobody. Ain't no captain. Ain't nobody going to take this man on. Ain't we going to be serving the Philistines, okay? Well, who going to fight him? Everybody step forward. Hey! Did nobody volunteer? And so day after day, Goliath comes out and mocks God's folk.
Yes, yes.
Is there anybody willing to face me? Who amongst you wants to die?
Nobody answered the call. And a little shepherd boy named David came to the camp, heard Goliath. He said, "Who in the world is this uncircumcised Philistine mocking God's folk?" Shepherd boy.
Yeah.
And they're looking like he don't know no better. He's young. He said, "David, I'll fight him." Boy, you just gonna put us in bondage. That's all you're going to do, because he's going to kill you with one swipe. That's all you're going to do. David said, "No, no, no, you don't understand. There was a lion that came out. There was a bear that came out. And I took them out. And the same God that was with me then, wait a minute, the same God that I believe, I think, I'm looking at the circumstance, and I believe that that God's going to help me with this." You know the story. He took a slingshot, right? Goliath had one opening. And David got some smooth stones and slung that slingshot, hit him smack in the forehead. And he just went down. And David took his sword, because he didn't have one, and cut his head off. Now, that's what David did. Now, why? Now, Saul is the king. The greatest battle so far, they've conquered. Start reading number one. Read.
"And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knitted with the soul of David."
Now, watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Now, Jonathan listened to David's heart and just bonded with his spirit.
Yes, yes.
He just loved him.
Yes.
First time he saw him, he just loved him. Read.
"And Jonathan loved him as his own soul."
He loved him so much. See, spirits know spirits. and listen. I have men call me from all over the country because of what I do with men. I literally from all over the country and outside of the country sometimes. And it ain't nothing for them to end the call with. "But what, I love you, man." And I say, "Well, I love you too." And I have said, you know, I have men, more men tell me sometimes they love me than I hear from my wife. Now, that's no insult to her, but that's just to say the relationships that we forge. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
I know my wife loves me, but I got men tell me all the time they love me. Jonathan was that with David. Everybody with me? Read.
"And Jonathan loved him as his own soul."
Read.
"And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's
house." Now, Saul's the king. He's saying to David, "Look, man, you just did this thing. I still don't know how you did that. But look, I don't want you to go back to the field. Look, tell your daddy you ain't going back home." Now, he the king, so he can do that. "You're going to stay in my palace. Because you just done something. I just don't know how you did that. So you're going to stay with me." Read.
"Then Jonathan and David made a covenant." "Because he loved him as his own soul."
Read.
"And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him."
Listen, Jonathan say, "Look, you my boy. Take my robe." Read.
"And gave it to David."
Read.
"And his garments."
Took his gun. Read.
"Even to his sword."
Take my weapon.
Wait.
Because David didn't have one. And they was trying to give him one. And Jonathan said, "Take mine." Read.
"And his bow."
Read.
"And to his girdle."
Yeah, read.
"And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him."
Read.
And behaved himself wisely.
Wait a minute. Wait, what did the Bible say?
And behaved himself.
Now listen, listen, listen. David never ever acted like he was no more than his servant to Saul. David never thought about anything other than serving the king. He'd been in the field tending the sheep. And now God has moved him out the field and put him in the king's house. And David knew how to act when he got there. Let me just say, when God starts blessing you, don't get beside yourself. When God elevates you, don't start thinking you all that in a bag of chips. Learn how to humble yourself.
Amen. Amen.
Get a promotion on the job, the worst thing to happen to you. You start acting different, talking different, being around folk different. You don't even speak to folk no more. But I can't deal with you no more. You know, I got to write. Look, who put you there? David knew how to behave himself. Read.
Wisely.
Read.
And Saul set him over the men of war.
Yeah, Saul
said,
look.
He was accepted in the sight of all the people.
I'm going to give you an army. And the folk respected David because David knew how to act. Read.
And it came to pass.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
As they came, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines.
Listen, now David is doing the bidding for Saul. Everything David got, Saul gave him. Gave him a place to live. Gave him an army to fight for and put him in charge of. Everything he got, God gave it to him. Read.
That the women came out of all
sisters started singing.
Singing and dancing.
What did they say?
To meet King Saul.
Yeah, what did they say?
The tabarets with joy and with instruments of music.
Yeah, yeah, what did they say?
And the women answered one another as they played.
What did they say, Lynn?
Saul has slain his thousands.
Wait a minute, Saul. Now, wait a minute. Now, Saul is the king.
Mm-hmm.
He the man. Saul has slain what?
His thousands.
Saul, they just sing it. Saul slain his thousands. Read.
And David?
And David?
His 10,000s.
They say, and David has killed his 10,000s. Read.
And Saul was very wroth.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Now listen to this.
Attitude.
He is in charge. Mm-hmm. He the man. But he thought based on, go ahead, what did he say to himself? Read.
And the sin displeased him.
Uh-huh, it displeased him. Read.
And he said, they have ascribed.
Wait, he did what?
He
said.
Said.
Wait a minute. If he said it, he saw it. Uh-huh. If he saw it that way, he thought it. Right. Now, he shouldn't have any reason to be intimidated by a shepherd boy who just came into power. But because of his thinking, he's been all out of shape over a song that folk made up. Right. Read.
They have ascribed unto David 10,000.
They gave David 10,000. Uh-huh.
And to me?
Uh-huh.
They have ascribed but thousands.
But thousands, read.
And what can he have more
what
but
the
kingdom?
What in the world is left for David to do but what?
Have the kingdom.
But to be my replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's what he saw. Read.
And saw I David from that day and forth.
And the way he looked at David changed.
Amen.
What did David do? What did he do? Absolutely nothing but what Saul asked him to do. David had no part in what the women were singing, but that was in Saul's heart, in his thinking. And because of what he saw,
and thought. He had a negative spin, and he started trying to kill David from then on.
Amen. Amen.
All right, everybody with me? Amen. But that was his take on the circumstance. How many times have we gone to war when there was no battle?
Teach, sir.
Nobody is after you. Why are you fighting? It's in your head.
Yeah.
Nobody wants your stuff. So why are you fighting? It's in your head. Now, quickly, because my time's running out. I want you to look at Paul's view of life. Go to Philippians 1, and we don't have time to read all of this. But go to Philippians 1. Let me set the stage for you. Paul is in jail. Paul has been arrested for preaching the gospel. He's in jail. In chains. He can't go nowhere. But he can write. And so he writes what we call prison epistles. So this one he writes to the church in Philippi. And I want you to get verse 2. Just hit some of that. Verse 2.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Verse 3.
I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine.
Yeah.
You all making requests with joy.
Read.
For your fellowship of the gospel from the first day until now.
Read.
Being confident of this very thing that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Read.
Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds.
Hold it right there. In your what?
Bonds.
I am locked up right now. And I'm writing you while I'm locked up.
In my bonds.
But listen to my heart. My circumstance is not dictating my attitude. I'm not writing to you telling you how bad it is. You know they mistreat me here in jail. And I hadn't had a hearing yet. And they ought to send somebody over there to take care of me. And the food, they took all of my clothes. And all they doing is let me write every now and then. And y'all ought to send a representative down here to try to get me out. No. That ain't his attitude. That ain't his attitude. He say, I'm in my bonds. Read on.
And in the defense and confirmation of the gospel.
I'm here because I believe in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Read.
Ye are all partakers of my grace.
Yeah. Now we need to skip over. Go over to verse number 12.
But I would ye should understand that the things which happen unto me.
Wait a minute. I know you worried about me because I'm in jail. And I know it ain't right. But the things that happened unto me that follow me, read.
Have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel.
Listen, just know this, because I'm in jail, the kingdom is growing. Because I got locked up, more people are obeying the gospel.
Yes, sir.
So I praise God that I'm in jail because it's helping the kingdom. Listen to this man's thinking. Read on.
So that My bonds in Christ.
I'm locked up in Christ. Read.
Are manifested in all the palace.
They talking about me in the palace.
And in all other places.
And everywhere else. They talking about how a man of God has been locked up because he's preaching the good news. Everybody, even in the palace, they talking about me. And the fact that I got locked up for the gospel's sake. And I'm happy to hear that everybody's talking. Read on.
And many of the brethren in the Lord,
yeah,
waxing confidence in my bones.
There are some folk now who never would have got up and stood up in the community and said anything, but because I'm locked up and because I got a right attitude, they standing up. They talking in the community. Read.
And much more bold to speak the word without fear.
And they going out there to the synagogues and every place, and they talking in the community, and they doing all of this. Now read.
Some indeed preach Christ.
Yeah.
Even in envy.
Yeah.
And strife.
Yeah.
And some also of goodwill.
Yeah.
The one preach Christ of contention,
mm-hmm,
not sincerely,
yeah,
supposing to add affliction to my bones.
Listen, now, that, I know everybody ain't preaching because they love me. Some folk are doing it to put more attention on me so that I can be persecuted more. And that's why they talking about the gospel. Make it stand out. And by the way, you got somebody locked up just like them, and you better do something to him. Read.
But the other of love.
Yeah, read.
Knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel.
Mm, go ahead.
What then?
Yeah.
Notwithstanding.
Listen to his attitude.
Every way.
Yeah.
Whether in pretense.
Whether they pretending they love the Lord and preach.
Or in truth.
Or whether they really love the Lord. Read.
Christ is preached.
All I care about. All I'm concerned about.
Christ
is that Christ
preached.
Is being preached.
And I therein do rejoice.
I am happy.
Yea, and will rejoice.
Listen, that's good. That's good. Now listen, what's the point? What's the point? Here's a man. If you looked at his circumstances. He ought to be bitter, angry, and if anybody's trying to do something against him, he ought, they, he ought.